This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there are a chosen few that will stand against the vampires, the demons, and the forces of darkness. These are the voyages of the crew of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Welcome, everybody, to Sci-Fi and Scream. This is Sonia. Kaz is over there.
Hello.
And we have a special guest today, tonight, I should say. We have Jules.
Good Jules evening.
Wilkinson. There she is.
A spooky voice on there.
It's your best spooky horror.
Yes.
So we're looking at undead, zombies and infecteds.
Because yes, revenants. Not, yeah. Oh yes, there are many, many types of zombies.
Mm. And we'll also be talking to on the phone with Richard Watts about zombie shuffling marches, etc.
Richard's been undead for many years.
Has he? Oh, excellent. And we were listening to a Living Dead, the Living Dead. What was it called?
Living Dead Beats.
Beats.
By Sec.
Ah, yeah, Sec. And that's from a 2000 copy of Night of the Living Dead. Just a slightly updated version.
Not as good as the 68 original, I have to say. But
you know. You mean the music as well?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right. So here on Sci-Fi and Scream Joy 94.9, we'll be looking into some depth into the zombification. And now our special guest, our first guest tonight, Jules Wilkinson. Welcome. Author, comedic performer. Is that all right to say that?
And self-professed zombie expert, yes.
Ah, expert. Okay, as long as you're not
consultant.
An expert. So the fascination of the zombie, what is it that's brought you to the feet of zombie culture, so to speak?
Basically I couldn't get a living girlfriend, so I looked for an undead one, really.
Yes, okay.
I've loved the horror genre since I was a wee thing, and mm-hmm. growing up in the 70s was a great time as a sitting at home at night watching B-grade horror movies on TV, and of course Night of the Living Dead, which, you know, anyone who knows anything about horror was George Romero's 1968.
Yeah.
Classic black and white zombie movie, which, if you haven't seen it, it holds up today as
it's
a fantastic
still amazing
movie.
I actually have a copy of it here, the 40th anniversary collection, which obviously came out in 2008, but I watched again recently. Mm-hmm. And yeah, still thrilling and still has its political punches there.
Very much era. So. In fact, having a main female and black character who are basically the ones who show a bit of sense and a lot of agency in dealing with the zombies. And I suppose as with many zombie stories, the story is as much about how the humans deal with themselves and each other in the face of the zombie apocalypse as they do with surviving the zombies often isn't your main problem.
Yes. No, and just a quick word, what do you rate the Zack Snyder remakes?
Look, I'm not an anti-remake person. I think they're classic stories that can be retold yes. for a new age with new ways of looking at them and more ways of making gore on screen. So, you know, bring it on. And, you know, for every remake you have that makes you yawn, someone will come up with something original like Zombieland and everyone will go, fantastic.
So I don't
care. Mm. We're all telling the same stories over and over again anyway.
Now, I saw you recently at a reading as part of the Midsummer Festival at the queer bookstore Hares and Hyenas. It was awesome.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and what you were actually, what were you reading? What was that all about?
I read a story called The Z Word, which was about my life as a zombie, in an urban zombie lesbian. And the whole night was really just to get together people who like writing, reading and listening to horror with a queer theme. And there's a long tradition of, you know, queer stories and queer themes in horror too. It's a very, strong thread that goes back because it is about being other, being out there, being transgressive,
exactly.
and having sex.
Absolutely. You definitely see that with vampires. I'm not sure I've seen too much with zombies together.
That's changing, though, is it not? Changing.
Oh, well, I mean, one of the big queer zombie movies of recent times was Otto by Otto Bruce LaBruce, which was gay zombie orgies. And
yes, make a hole in the person's body and...
Go for it.
Go
it's
for it.
Good thing when you're a zombie, you have many more orifices.
You can make new ones, as they showed in that film. It was very interesting. So why do you think people find the concept of the zombies so damn funny compared to vampires, which are always so sexy and brooding? No. Brooding, yeah.
Emo, yes. Look, I think zombies have a couple of attractions. One, in a way, is their actual repulsion. Zombies embody, or disembody, if you like, everything about ourselves that we find uncomfortable and repulsive. They're about death and disease and your guts falling out, your
rotting
eyeballs
away.
Popping and your flesh falling off. Those dreams that most of us have had that your teeth all fall out or whatever. Mm. And in a way, that's reversely fascinating because in some ways it makes us feel better about ourselves because that's what we're not. And we can
not
put
yet.
That, not yet. And we can put it out there and go, oh, yes, horrible zombies over there, but we're human and alive and very good. The other thing is the zombie is the anti-vampire. Vampires have always been. They're dark and dangerous. They're the bad boy and girl that you really want to fucking have fun with and possibly get bitten. Zombies are anti that. So for those of us who just like to be contrary and like to be out there, for everyone who's all into zombies, we want to go into vampires, you know, for every person who buys a copy of Twilight, we want to be out there shuffling along, you know, dribbling over your feet and having our intestines trail behind us. Just because it's going to make you feel sick.
Because you can as well. It's kind of, there's an anarchy about that, I think.
There certainly is. Zombies are very much everything that vampires aren't. Vampires are always portrayed as being.
Vampires are articulate too.
They come across as intelligent, articulate. They're often organised. You know, they're in a way a reflection of the dark side of humanity, whereas zombies are anti-humanity.
Mm.
They're chaos and, as you said, they're
that's the end times,
anarchy.
You know, of your human flesh, your mortal remains.
Yeah. You don't have to think a lot when you're a zombie, and that's quite attractive.
Really? Okay. Right. So you think it's the body decay and the shambolic way in which most cases that zombies are portrayed as they appear in the public. Is that why people think they're funny and think, oh,
I don't know that everyone thinks they're funny.
I find them amusing.
I think they can be, but I think that's also tapping into something inside us that makes us laugh at things that can scare us too. Mm. Because it's easier to laugh at them than to admit that you're scared.
Face of death,
and of course there is, you know, a side of the genre that is the sort of zombie clown, that they are funny and more humorous, if you like. They don't take themselves always as seriously as vampires.
Well, they can't really, can they, when they've got limbs dropping off? And
yes, and I think the genre per se, whether it's in movies or books or that, has a lot of humour in it. So recently, you know, we've had Pride and Prejudice with zombies
and
come
zombies.
Out.
That's right.
Anyone who's ever been on something like a zombie shuffle, or even if you look, have a look through the internet on various sorts of pop art stuff around zombies. So you have zombie strippers, and, you know, you can have gay twinkie zombies in little satin shorts, and you can take any...
you have zombie sheep as well.
Black Sheep, the New Zealand movie.
Why not?
Absolutely brilliant. Also had Were-Sheep in that, which I thought was good
that's
twist.
Right,
but, so I think zombies don't take themselves as seriously, which a lot of us like.
Great. Now, we're going to have a little break in a moment, some important messages, and then we'll be back with Jules and more zombie talk. And you're back. And on Sci-Fi and Squeam tonight with Sonia and Kaz, we have special guest Jules, who is a very interesting writer from a very interesting bent, I would say, looking and examining her zombie sex life, pretty much. Okay, so you're... Is it a more recent work, that, in regards to zombies and our forlorn, love lost and misunderstood zombie lesbianism? Is that
I think anyone who's been in the lesbian community for a while has probably run into the odd zombie or two. Or, in fact, in the queer community in general. There are a few wandering around the park after midsummer and the carnival and the tea dance too.
Yes,
so, I thought it was a fun way to have a look at... what I like doing, which is having a look at our lives. Mm. And why not have a look at it through the eyes of a zombie?
Why not? And what have you found looking at it through the eyes of a a zombie
well,
lesbian?
Some of the things I looked at were, you know, the challenges of being a lesbian zombie. I mean, what if you're a lesbian vegetarian zombie? Do you only eat other lesbian vegetarian zombies, or, you know, do you have to suddenly start eating, find lentils with brains? You know, it's quite a challenge.
Like tofurkey, you know.
Exactly.
You have to have a human equivalent that's not human flesh. That's really quite difficult.
And it's hard if you're, you know, like I am, obviously am, you know, a very stylish, body conscious lesbian. Mm. You know, when bits of you start sloughing off. How do you keep a good haircut when you're a zombie? So
wigs, I suppose.
Oh, look, wigs are difficult when, you know, the skin on your skull is coming away.
Okay.
So, you know, there are a lot of challenges. I think I might have to move into doing a sort of a Miss Manners book for zombie lesbians as well, because there are challenges.
Right.
So anyone out there running what's left of the gay media might want to, you know, engage me to give some advice out there, I think.
I think we need it, definitely.
Finishing school for zombies.
There you go.
Like a Swiss
I'm seeing
school.
A reality TV show. So you think you can zombie shuffle?
Zombie brats.
That's it.
Or that, what's that, the one where they do actually send those poor bogans to finishing school?
Oh,
Zombie brats, is it? No, what is it?
I can't remember what it is.
Yes, the one
where they turn bogans to ladies.
Yes.
Oh, from
ladies to ladettes.
Yes.
We have dykes to zombiettes. Or something.
That's right.
Anyway, there are a lot of potential.
I hope you're writing these ideas down.
Yeah, someone will be calling Network 10 in the morning.
Is it hard to find love in a zombified state? How has it been for a lesbian zombie out there?
Well, again, I think we've probably all got some stories about having relationships with people who are not particularly responsive or articulate and want to eat your brains. So, you know, again,
I've ran into that, have you? Like, yourself.
Well, both with the dead and the undead. So, although I have found with the zombie girlfriends, less likely to run off with your CD collection.
No, they just
because they can't carry anything.
They just shuffle.
So they just shuffle off.
Yeah. But they put it on shuffle, maybe.
Nano shuffle.
Yes. Are there fewer possibilities out there today for a queer single zombie?
No, I think it's opening up. I think particularly with the internet, you know, Pink Sofa now has a little thing you can tick to indicate, you know, that you're a vampire or a zombie or a were-lesbian. So, you know, I think we're becoming a lot more accepting.
More open-minded.
Diversity of the supernatural
and do you
undead.
Think generally in society itself is becoming more accepting of queer zombies?
No, I think it'll be slower again. I think our community is quite good at accepting diversity. I don't know how many more letters we can put onto GLBTIQ, so I don't know if we're going to get a Z on there anytime soon, but it would be good to see.
Yeah, it would be. It's a mouthful.
It already is.
Isn't it? Like, sometimes you can drop the Q off the end. I've noticed
say
that.
Well, and there's F for fluid, P for pansexual. You know, you've got to get everyone
in there. I just have to start calling it A to Z, I think.
I'm just thinking the alphabet community.
Yeah, alphabet soup. That sounds good. Now, in that reading I went to at Hares and Hyenas, you touched on zombie rights. Can you tell us a little bit about what information do you have? Have you had to look through things like any world parliaments and things like that?
Civil rights, zombies are after uncivil rights, and you know, it's very hard because we're rather, you know, lots of zombies
rather chaotic
and rather lethargic too.
So
zombies don't
mix.
Move at a big rate. Collective meetings can go on for days,
late paying their taxes,
hard
to catch speeding tram. They do actually gather pace sometimes.
You've seen speeding trams in Melbourne? I must be on the wrong
only to
route.
The tennis. Of course, because they're free. Where are we up to with
Look,
zombie
we've
rights?
Still got a way to go. We have, at the moment, most legislation is framed for people who are alive. So really getting definition of what it is to be a citizen. We can't vote at the moment. You know, you do actually need to be alive to vote, apparently. Although there have been a number of council elections in the past through Melbourne where dead people have voted.
Do you have to be alive to stand for election? Because I'm pretty sure that if you remember our old Minister for Immigration, Philip Braddock, I'm pretty sure he was dead.
No, he just didn't have a brain, which might have been removed by a zombie.
Perhaps,
so, so we do get a lot of prejudice because people assume that stupid people like Philip Braddock might be zombies.
Yeah,
but,
zombie or vampire, I always thought with him.
Yes, he had that very much had that Mr. Burns vibe going on, didn't he?
Excellent.
Could have been the radiation, perhaps. So for all the rights of zombies, particularly queer zombies, if a queer zombie is finding themselves that perhaps they're being, you know, discriminated against, where can they go? Is there anywhere online?
No, they should just go and eat brains, really.
Yeah,
just embowel someone. We're not very much into the bureaucracy of organising, so we usually find that mindless violence is the best answer. Yeah, none of this getting petitions together and, you know,
organising workshops.
No workshops and no pride marches or anything. We'll have the odd shuffle. But, yeah, usually just mindless violence, mass attack.
Will there be any zombies in the pride March this coming weekend?
Well, so we're not organised enough to be able to tell you, but there might be.
Is that memory loss because you're losing your brain?
Yes. We tend to be quite spontaneous, really.
I've noticed that. Okay. And where to now, as far as you go?
Oh, look, I want to continue my explorations of the zombie world and the whole supernatural world. I mean, I'm very diverse in my interests, and I do think we need to form a coalition. I mean, we've got enough letters on our end of the alphabet. We can V for vampires and W for wolves. We've got that little cluster at the end of the alphabet sort of sewn up. So,
Sewn up's the right word, isn't it? Sewn together and some all stapled.
Yes. So I did actually reflect on my, before I came here tonight, I was at home. I'm writing an essay on the TV series True Blood at the moment for an anthology that's coming out. And then what I need to do is sort of work all this up into a bit of a supernatural consultancy and earn some money out of it, I think.
Sounds like a brilliant idea. And when it comes to looking for Mr. or Ms. Wright, as far as a zombie goes, what's more important, brains or looks?
Oh, you can get the brains from the living. So
looks aren't important then.
Oh, yes, you do. Well, you do look for someone who's well decayed.
Yeah.
The newly undead are a little bit too much like the living. So particularly someone, intestines hanging out.
Yeah.
Muscle or bone showing is always a good look.
Sinewy. Like Madonna's arms something like that.
Anything where you can see, like, you know, no nose or ears is always a good look.
How do you stand on parasite accessories? Maggots, no maggots?
Oh, long tapeworms are a particular fetish of mine, but you know, that's just a personal thing.
So elephantitis would be quite exciting, I guess.
Or that sort of suggests, that's growing of things, whereas we're more about losing of body parts.
Excellent. Have you been to any of the shuffles or walks yourself?
Yes, I went last year. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, for anyone out there who is motivated to be amongst 1,200 zombies on a Saturday morning in the middle of the CBD was absolutely brilliant. It was anarchy at its best. We were shuffling along Swanson Street and had a lot of tourists and shoppers looking at us with wonderment, trying to interrogate us as to our purpose, which, of course, all they got in return was brains. And there were some absolutely gorgeous costumes. We had everything from zombie footballers to pregnant zombie nuns and everything in between. So had quite a lot of fun outside one of the big churches where there were some people what do they do? Proselytising, and of course, Jesus being a zombie, we were able to have quite an interesting dialogue with them about Jesus as a zombie, which I think possibly caused their brain to melt.
And of course, he was involved with Lazarus, was he not?
Yeah, he was into making zombies too. So,
quite a few, 12, I believe, at that point.
But yes, if. I know Richard will talk about the zombie shuffle for this year. One of the most brilliant things was actually afterwards and along South Bank, as the zombies dispersed and people went off to have lunch or a drink, was walking back along South Bank and looking in all these gorgeous little cafes and bars at zombies sitting around.
And there's Cafe Latte Zombies.
Exactly. Yeah, and the trams were full of zombies. It was a brilliant afternoon.
See, it doesn't chase away commerce.
I don't think that's true.
I think it will bring more people into Melbourne, CBD, you think?
We'll have a whole festival around it soon because we are the festival city. We probably should go for Victorian Arts Council funding.
Sounds like a great idea. Well, what can I say, Jules? It's been just,
an absolute pleasure. Now, I just have one last question. I know you're a big fan of the TV series Supernatural.
Certainly are.
I have one question.
Only one?
Only one. Wincest, yes or no?
Yes.
Excellent. That's all I wanted to hear. I just wanted to know there's one other person in the world who...
Yeah, there's got to be people out there asking about Wincest.
Do you want to quickly
explain it? Oh, certainly. For those of you who don't know, this TV show Supernatural features two brothers who, amongst other things, they go around killing supernatural things, ghosts.
Oh, as you do.
Ghosts and zombies and vampires. Mm. And amongst the fandom around as those of us who write fan fiction, if people know about that. And one thing that people do in fan fiction is make fictional characters have sex with each other. And in Supernatural, it's known as Wincest because they're actually brothers, of course.
Oh.
And the funny thing is... not to go on about it too long, but it's actually now featured on the show. The characters the show themselves have mentioned.
That was a great episode.
And if anyone, can I give a plug to my website?
Go for it.
If anyone wants to read more about Wincest, they can. We have a Wikipedia for the TV show, which is supernaturalwiki.com. So you can look up Wincest there and find out all about it.
Please do. I'm glad I'm not the only person who spends hours thinking about it.
And what's coming up for you? Like, have you got any readings or more writings?
No, we'll be writing some more on lesbian zombies. As I said, I'm
and you're working on True Blood at the moment.
I'm writing about True Blood, and I'll be doing some blogging on the Ben Bella Books run a series called Pop Smart, and they put out anthologies on just about every TV show or popular culture thing, you know, from Harry Potter to Lost to Desperate Housewives. Ooh. And they have a blog site with that, and so some of us will be blogging during the next series of True Blood, which I'm very much looking forward to, which, if you haven't caught it, is the campus queerest, naughtiest.
Sexiest, isn't it?
Yes, the vampires actually have sex and take lots of drugs. So I hope to be continuing my explorations of the undead.
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming in on Joy 94.9 for our show on Sci-Fi and Scream. You're with Sonia and Kaz, and we've had the wonderful Jules, and now we're going to have a little break, and we'll be back, and we'll be talking to Richard Watts.
And you're back on Sci-Fi and Scream with Sonia and Kaz. We are speaking about zombies tonight. We have been speaking to Jules Wilkinson at the beginning of our show, and we've got another special guest coming up now.
Yeah, Richard. Richard Watts, hi. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream.
Thank you very much. Hi, Sonia. You. Hi, Kaz. How are you going?
Good. Thank you. Yeah, we're good. We're not decayed or anything yet.
Oh, good, good.
So. That's great. So we've just got some questions for you, Richard. You are involved with the Zombie Shuffles here in Melbourne. Is that correct?
That's right, yes. Myself and a good friend of mine, Clem Bastow, have been co-organising the Zombie Shuffles for the last couple of years.
Hmm.
There have been four shuffles to date, and I think particularly given the rise in popularity of social networking media like Facebook, the last two shuffles have grown really significantly. The first shuffle I helped organise, which was the third shuffle 2 years ago now, had maybe 600 to 800 people, whereas last year's shuffle had well in excess of 1,000. I think the estimates we were looking at were about 1,500 people, between 1,200, 1,000 to 500. It was the largest collection of decayed, shuffling, brain-hungry zombies I've ever seen.
Excellent. And can you tell listeners out there who've maybe this is the first time they've tuned in to Sci-Fi and Scream and the first time they've heard zombies being talked about on air. Can you tell us a little bit about what is a zombie shuffle or marches or hordes or lurches or shambles or crawls or whatever they're called?
Well, they're a worldwide phenomenon, and they're really just about having fun. It's one of the things that, for me, is one of the most enjoyable aspects of the Melbourne Zombie Shuffle, is that when it happens, people will come up saying, oh, what's this for? What's it about? What are you selling?
Thinking that what are you selling?
Exactly. Thinking that it's tied into some kind of corporate marketing scheme or something like that. But it's not selling anything. It's just about having a good time. And the people that come along... not always horror fans, but a large percentage of them are kind of devotees of horror films and horror fiction. But then you get kind of like, you get some goths, some emo kids, some metalheads, and then you get kind of actors and performers and people who are just there to dress up and have a good time. And it really is a good time. It's a wonderful day, a wonderful event. The combination of the sheer number of people who are taking part of like-minded people getting out, getting dressed up, spattering themselves in fake blood
Fantastic.
And having a great time.
Creative riffraff. You sound like creative riffraff. So for you as an artist, what attracts you to, because you are an artist, what attracts you to get involved in such such mayhem?
That's a good question. Look, I've been a fan of horror for almost as long
Forever.
As I can remember. as a kind of 12-year-old back in the early 80s, showing my age.
We won't calculate on Mousy at maths, so don't worry.
I was setting my alarm clock on Friday and Saturday night so I could get up and watch the late movie and the late, late movie on Channel 9, which were Hammer horror films old Universal films like Dracula and The Creature from the Black Lagoon. So I've always loved horror, but there's something about the zombie shuffle which is just enormously fun, partially from a creative point of view. The idea of working out what you can do for a costume, what you can do with a little bit of liquid latex and some toilet paper, which combined give you this wonderful decayed skin look.
Then
you
just sounds so romantic. Actually.
Oh, I know. It's just
no. I mean, there's a romance to that. You know, taking such effort, and their appearance. People just don't do that anymore. They have to do it as undead people.
Well, the effort that some people go to, I've not. For example, studied prosthetic makeup design or anything like that. But so I've just picked up tips on the internet and gone out and bought some stage makeup and made a couple of fake scars or whatever, and off I go. But there are other people who go to such enormous effort. Clem, who I co-organised the zombie shuffles with, last year went as a pregnant woman whose zombie offspring was chewing its way out of her stomach. It was
Was it actually animated?
Beautiful.
I mean, was it robotic?
It wasn't animatronic, but
animatronics were.
But it looked stunning. And the scary thing was somebody else had come up with the same idea. So I guess there's a shared kind of culture of zombie representation from Romero films and others that we tap into. So this year one of the challenges is how can you beat the costume that you had last year?
Good question.
And it is hard putting on all that latex, let me tell you. Richard, I just wanted to ask you, I mean, it's hard enough to get people out on the streets for a cause, like, you know, climate change or something like that. What do you think it is about people getting out there in such numbers? I mean, what are they responding to? Do you think it's just people are sort of fighting back against that apathy of sitting at home, or?
That's a really kind of telling phrase, that apathy of sitting at home, because that, I think, is one of the things that the zombie shuffle kind of taps into. There's a concern that with our the pace of modern life and the way that we work, there's perhaps a fear that our jobs are turning us into zombies of a kind, and so maybe this is a chance to actually rebel against that by literally becoming zombies just for the day and forgetting about your McJob stuck behind a desk
feel like a zombie.
Exactly. And that's, to me, one of the fascinating things about zombies as a representation in contemporary horror. They can represent so much about contemporary fear, be it fear of brainwashing that we would have seen in the 50s and 60s with some of the political films that were coming out, fear of loss of personality, fear of what the modern world is doing to us. There are so many metaphors.
Fear of tribalism. As well, I fear of loss of a tribalistic community.
Yes, yeah. The more advanced our technology becomes, the more isolated we become. Mm. So it's ironic, of course, then that Facebook is actually helping make the zombie shuffles better organised and better attended. That the very thing that is perhaps isolating us and advancing that fear of losing our tribal nature is encouraging this mass tribe shuffling and moaning through the streets, occasionally startling and shocking. Passes by, never deliberately, but it's one of the great things about the zombie shuffle is the look on the faces of passers-by when you lurch around a corner covered in blood and moaning, brains.
it's definitely a nice side effect. Richard, you mentioned you were talking about isolation and how people can be isolated by technologies. So is the zombie shuffle thing, is it a city thing for those isolated sort of elites, or have you heard any reports of this happening in country areas or outback areas?
I haven't heard of country zombie shuffles, but certainly smaller zombie shuffles are springing up out in the suburbs, for example. There's one or two that I've heard of. But for the most part, they do seem to be kind of urban events. I think partially because you need a large number of people with existing subcultures who will respond to the idea of the zombie shuffle to get involved. So for this year's shuffle, we've just set the date, which is going to be the 1st of May. We're hoping for the biggest zombie shuffle Melbourne has ever seen.
So that's a May Day event then.
Yes. Mm. So, but there'll be no maypoles and...
Or lefty zombie shuffles.
I'm sure maybe. There may be some lefty zombies. Kind of, last year we had, we've had zombie Christ and zombie nuns.
Mm. Zombie bride seems to appear quite regularly when I was looking on the internet.
Yep. I think people love that juxtaposition of the beautiful bride covered in blood and hungry for flesh.
Where's the groom? You never see the groom in those pictures.
Maybe a praying mantis style.
She ate him.
Could be. Zombie runs. Why don't we have those based on the new sort of infected films that are out there, like 28 Days Later? How far away are we from having those?
That's a good question. There are something certainly at the zombie shuffle over the last year or two. We've had the slow shuffling zombies, but we have had the
sprinters.
The frenetic, frantic, screaming, running amok zombies as well.
Yes.
So that's one of the great things, that it's so open to interpretation. It can be such a personal choice as to how you represent yourself as a decayed, kind of hungry corpse.
I think you should organise the zombie city to surf.
That could be a bit far. There's no good surf kind of immediately around Melbourne, so we might be shuffling for a couple of hours.
For a little while. I can just imagine. I think they just keep going straight into the water.
And zombie Santa run for Christmas.
We might be hitting an issue with the bikies there. They may not be too happy with the idea of us competing with their Santa run.
And it wouldn't
run.
Be a teddy bear strapped to the front, would it?
Well, there could be some undead teddy bears shambling about, perhaps, or
With no brains.
Shredded between the teeth.
Okay. So, do you have any anecdotes or favourite zombie moments that you can think of from some of your shuffle experiences?
One of the most delightful elements of the shuffle last year was the number of parents who brought their kids along.
Wow.
So you had zombie mum, zombie dad, or zombie mum and zombie mum, and kind of zombie child. And the kids loved it. They get to kind of like, they get messy, and normally when you're a little child you're told, keep clean, kind of don't do anything silly. Yeah. And so this is a chance to actually be silly. And so you see these absolutely delighted kids kind of chewing on a blood capsule and drawing a bit of fake blood with their faces painted green. That's just great fun. And just the occasional look of momentary shock and bewilderment on people's faces, and then the double take that they do when they realise what's happening, and the laughter, knowing that you've just snapped somebody out of their routine just for 30 seconds or even 5 seconds is a delightful achievement.
Well, I'm going to be there. Now, how can potential participants get involved in this?
The easiest way is to jump onto Facebook. If you're not already a member, just sign up to Facebook. It's quick and easy. But if you're already on Facebook, just search for Melbourne Zombie Shuffle. You'll find our fan page, which is the most recent addition to the list. Sign up to that, or just sign up to the Melbourne Zombie Shuffle group, and you'll receive regular updates as to the exact details of this year's Melbourne Zombie Shuffle, the fifth shuffle, as I said, taking place on the 1st of May. We're just fine-tuning the details at the moment. We're hoping that this year, because we're going for the largest turnout ever, that we can actually make it a fundraiser for a charity.
Okay.
We're just looking to identify which deserving charity. It would be appropriate to, I don't know, the blood bank, for example, but we'll just wait and see
organ transplants or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, people could actually have their organs transplanted.
Well, they could donate them on the spot, handing out cards or something.
Exactly.
All legitimate, of course.
Of course.
How does Melbourne actually fare internationally as far as we know about shuffles and walks?
Well, as I said, they are international events.
Yeah.
Canada seems to be a bit of an epicentre, but I don't know if anybody's ever tried to do a Guinness World Record largest zombie shuffle ever. That may be something that we can look into for this year.
Yes. So the next one is coming up May the 1st, that's correct?
That's right.
Yeah. And where are you amongst all this? How far do you go?
Well, as in physically, how far do we go?
Yep.
Well, we normally start off in the Carlton Gardens, shuffled down through the city along Swanston Street, moaning happily. In the past, there's been a tradition to end up outside a certain large city gambling venue.
Okay,
and again, that little political commentary about yes. Zombie status. But who knows where we'll end up this year. It's always nice to... We definitely want to have a bit of an after party where the undead can dance the evening away, hopefully not leaving bits of themselves on the dance floor.
Will there be brains on the menu?
There's always brains.
Faux brains, not real ones.
Definitely.
That's great. Okay, look, Richard, it's been, fantastic talking to you on the phone here for Sci-Fi and Scream, and we look forward to hearing more about the shuffles, and certainly maybe even Sci-Fi and Scream should get their act together and...
We'll print T-shirts. Yeah.
Print T-shirts. Oh, okay.
Well, I hope to see you both at the fifth Melbourne Zombie Shuffle on the 1st of May.
Looking Excellent. Forward to it. Thanks, Richard.
Thanks
Richard.
Very much.
Thanks. Bye.
Welcome back to Sci-Fi and Scream. You're listening to Sonia and Kaz gabbing on tonight about zombies. We spoke to Jules and Richard earlier in the show, and Jules spoke to us about about queer zombies and her experience as a zombie advocate, and Richard spoke to us about Zombie Shuffle. And for more information on any of these interviews, you can hit up our Facebook page, just search for Sci-Fi and Scream.
But now we're going to look at a little bit about the origins of the zombie and what it is. Now, from my discoveries, it's an American mythology. However, even though it's an American mythology based, obviously, in the mainland of America, in the southern states of America, where zombie is, taken off, basically. It's really from the heart of Africa, West Africa, and transported to Caribbean islands that were used in the slave trade back many hundreds of years now, the last 500 years. It loosely was transformed and localized into a cult on the island of Haiti in the Caribbean that has suffered terribly in the last few weeks. Now, just looking at that particular culture on Haiti, now the voodoo cult, and that's spelt V-O-U-D-U by origin, the voodoo cult in Haiti originally with the word zombie, which actually is spelt Z-O-M-B-I, so there's no E in it, which is interesting. And a zombie is a person who was fixed into a trance-like state through the so-called powers of a local magician-type figure. Some reported cases in the last couple of hundred years or so where living persons were zombified, but in other local lore, it's believed recently deceased people could also be zombified or reanimated to walk again amongst the living. Now, a Gede, spelled G-H-E-D-E, was the name given to the magician who had the ability to do such powerful magic on the deceased, the recently deceased, and I reiterate that, recently deceased. Origins, like I said, possibly from West African, the West African continent. And the word zombie actually is derived from the word Kimbundu, which is a mixture of languages. It's a mixture of Caribbean French, which I don't know much about, but sounds very interesting, and English Creole. And zumbi means ghost of departed spirit. So that's just about a little bit of the origins of zombification. But there's also a lot of myths around actual zombification brought about, or this trance-like state, from local medicine and
that's right. And we're
witch
gonna look
doctor medicine that's been, given to not a patient, but given to a person.
That's right. We're going to look a little bit at that later on in the show when we look at the biology of zombies, as it is, I suppose you would call it. Looking at the origins of zombies is really interesting because, unlike other supernatural creatures, they kind of have a basis.
There is
in the
there
real
is a
world
basis
in that sense,
in cultural backgrounds, and some people still do hold on to some of these traditions.
That's it. And I mean, I suppose
it's
interesting. Look at it from a more modern
perspective.
From voodoo, yes. But if you look at it, people who, I suppose, have undergone lobotomies or that sort of thing where their brain's actually been changed, modified somehow.
That's right.
Will often be described as being zombie-like.
No consciousness, I believe. It's a type of lack of consciousness.
Yeah.
So they're in a state of animated.
They're animated,
activity,
but they,
but no,
they're not very aware of what's going on around
surroundings.
Them.
I'm a bit like that at work sometimes, actually. And some anthropologists actually believe that the voodoo roots may go back, which is where zombie comes from, may go back at least 6,000 years. And it's believed in places like Ghana and Benin as well, on the West African and the Ivory Coast. Reports in the 19th century in Nigeria as well. So not necessarily just from Haiti and Caribbean countries, but obviously the crossover. And, of course, Hollywood jumped on that wagon.
They certainly did.
In the 1930s, we had Boris Karloff in some very early zombie movies. And Bela Lugosi even played a zombie doctor.
That's
called,
right.
White Zombie.
I think the film was called The White Zombie.
Yeah, very strange. And he feeds his patients a mixture of ground pufferfish, which I believe is a local coral fish.
That's
which
right.
Brings about zombie mortification.
That's it. Mm. And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream. We are talking zombies tonight. Everyone's probably second favourite undead. We'll be back right after these messages.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.